You're listening to Sounds Good. It's our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Tracy Ross. Kate Lochte's in Studio A, and on the phone we have Merriman House Director Mary Foley. Good Monday morning to you, Mary.
Good morning.
Mary, I was in the audience at the Paducah Chamber breakfast the other morning when you received a check in from the Leadership Paducah class, and you were pretty much bowled over.
You know, I've had the privilege of seeing those pictures myself since that happened, and that is exactly right. I was so unbelievably caught off guard. I'm not sure what I expected, but that exceeded my expectations.
So the Leadership Paducah class gave the Merriman House money towards, I reckon, your need to acquire new property for the Merriman House. Give the background.
Well, you know, the Merriman House has been providing services to the 8-county purchase region for over 30 years, and we have come to that place where we have exceeded what we feel like is our ability to provide the type of services that we need to, just based on the confinement, if you would, of our current location. Right now we're a 24-bed shelter, and we have on average 35 people on our waiting list at any given time, and usually have exceeded capacity or have certainly been over it since January of this year. So it's been a process in the making, but over the last year and a half, the Board of Directors has been actively looking for ways to remedy that and some other maintenance issues, and just making us more accessible to persons with disabilities. And so they had actually voted a few months ago to build a new shelter on its current site. We have some additional acreage where we currently are located, which I'm unable to disclose for security reasons, but it had actually made that vote. And within a couple of weeks, a new property, a new campus of about 26 acres came to our attention, and that ball started rolling pretty quickly. And so, yes, we are now actively working to raise the money to acquire that property. We have until January the 30th to secure financing. And so Leadership Paducah's selection of us as their charity recipient could not have come at a better time. And that particular check could not have come at a better time. So it will certainly has been earmarked for that endeavor, for the new facility, in whichever way we need to have it be used. And so that's sort of the kickoff, if you would.
Was it $42,000 or $43,000?
It was $42,200.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a class project for that bunch. So
I am told, yes, it is a record-breaking amount, that they have never raised that much for a nonprofit, which made it all the more humbling and all the more wonderful.
Now, in a really interesting interview for the Paducah Business Journal, after receiving the KeyForce Ultimate Makeover grant for nonprofits, you addressed a question that I think is worth bringing to light, and that is, when you speak of domestic violence, the first question is, why didn't they leave, rather than why did that person perpetrate violence?
Right. You know, I've been working with survivors of all types of crimes for almost a decade, child sexual abuse, sexual assault, and now domestic violence. And I see so much of so many dynamics that I wish I didn't see, but maybe one of the most poignant was what this particular interviewer had asked me, which his question to me, essentially the context of that question was, are there myths that you wish weren't there, or are there myths that you hear that you would like to speak to? And that's the one that comes up for me. People ask, why does she stay? Why does she stay? Why does she stay? And then express frustration, which I totally get, you know, around that, whether it's law enforcement or victim service provider or family members or friends or clergy. I mean, people that are in the helping profession sometimes experience that frustration in ways we wish we didn't, and it's very easy to ask the question, why does she stay or why does she go back? And I think where our community and our society has to come to, or we have to wrestle through, is we wouldn't ask those kinds of questions of any other crime. And we really have got to begin to shift that conversation to, why does he or she batter or perpetrate violence? And what can we do to intervene and to prevent it from occurring from the first place.
And I think we've all, through various police dramas, come to know that domestic violence situations are absolutely the worst in the world for law enforcement folks as well. So it's a deepening issue.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you about the confidentiality of location issue. I know that was a concern when you looked at the property that you are acquiring.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that I think that will be an ongoing conversation for I and the board of directors of the Merriman House to wrestle through. Where do we find that balance of safety and security and confidentiality, which we will always remain true. Those are heartbeats and core components of what we do. And yet put ourselves in a position where the community is able to do the very thing I just spoke to. They're able to find their place in this issue and find a way to help be a part of the solution. And you can't do that when they have a hard time doing that when we are so secluded that we're difficult to access. So part of the ongoing conversation will be how do we, now that we are moving to a much more known location, how will we ensure safety and security and yet bring this issue into the light and in my mind, build security just by that knowledge. I think when we bring something out of the dark and into the light, there's protection there. So we know that moving to the school board property, as we now affectionately refer to it as, trying to acquire that property here in Paducah McCracken County does make us much more visible. But I think it also positions us to be able to link arms with community and with businesses in a way that we've never been able to do before, and with partners in a way that we've never been able to do before. Hopefully begin to do this work in a much more cohesive way, remove obstacles for our survivors so that they'll be able to get the holistic treatment that they need and the help that they need, and do that with such grace that we balance their safety, security, both real and perceived, so that they can heal from a place of safety. So we have quite a balance and a conversation to have, but I do think it's the right one. I think it's the right time, and I think it's needed.
And so you'll be fundraising. What's on the horizon for major events for you all?
Well, the board of directors has just been talking with a team of professionals that we will be looking to help us launch a capital campaign. So we will be coming to the community in a very planned and purposeful way to ask for lead givers and lead gifts to support this effort. We, of course, will do the things that we do well as nonprofits, which are write grants and secure those types of donations. And then we will continue on with the fundraising that we already do. I know the community just got behind the Paducky Derby, which was a huge success, and it's a great way to be able to have a difficult conversation. So that will certainly be coming back in the spring of next year. So, you know, to leave some element of surprise, we will be unrolling those things when we know a little bit more. We certainly are on a tight deadline. I do think it's really important to present, I think, to your listening audience, you know, the Merriman House serves the 8 counties. It doesn't just serve Paducah McCracken County. And so maybe where we have not done a good job is really getting out and bringing in all the counties to support this great work, because we certainly do support survivors from those counties. And so that's something I'm very excited about doing better, and about letting folks know in Callaway County and Marshall County and Hickman and Fulton and everywhere in between, that this issue certainly isn't a Paducah McCracken County issue. It's a Purchase Region issue, and our survivors, no matter where they reside, certainly deserve a safe place to heal and to get better.
As we close, Mary Foley, Executive Director of Merriman House, do you want to give the number for anyone to call if a person finds himself or herself in a battering situation?
I would love to. We do serve men, women, and children. We are open 24 hours a day. That 800 number is 800-585-2686. That's 800-585-2686. Or you can call 443-6001. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't just say, if you'd like to learn how to get connected, get help, or give back, you can do that at merrimanhouse.org.
Mary, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This is WKMS. Our channels and web service are part of the educational mission of Murray State.